Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri, and good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, May 5th, 2016. Thank you for joining us this evening live from Washington. I'm Dimyake Mwakalyelye. Here are top stories this evening. Some Zimbabweans have criticized proposals by the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe to introduce bond notes.
The introduction of bond notes is a matter of kuti the government have failed, and they are bringing the Zim dollar from a backdoor. They are not too well supported.
But the central bank says this is designed to stimulate the ailing economy. And striking railway workers get a court reprieve over attempts to force them to end their industrial action. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Harare residents have expressed mixed feelings over the announcement by Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe Governor John Magunjga that the country will soon introduce bond notes to ease cash shortages in the country. Our correspondent Patricia Mdadigwa reports.
In a street survey, one of the residents, Stanley Mukunguna, said it is clear that the government is introducing the bond notes as it has failed to revive the economy under the current multiple currency system. He said this is the latest version of the Zimbabwean dollar, which was abandoned when the country formed a unit government in 2009.
The introduction of bond notes is a matter of kuti the government have failed, and they are bringing the Zim dollar from a backdoor. They are not too well supported. The question is, what rate are they putting on a $10 bond note? What rate is it to a US dollar?
Another resident, Keresenzi Alovu, who is a vendor in the streets of Harare, said it is likely that they will have difficulties in importing goods for resale in Zimbabwe since the notes will not be usable in other nations. Love noted that some people will now start hoarding the American dollar, a situation that is set to lead to serious shortages of the U.S. currency.
Bond note is not money, because if I want to do my business outside, like Messina, Mozambique, bond note will not.
Suspended Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyene agreed, noting that the introduction of the bond notes will not solve the economic fundamentals that have gone wrong.
And the bond coins came along. We welcomed them as a short-term relief for fundamental problems. We thought as we were dealing with the bond coins, we'll be fixing the economic and the political fundamentals that have brought us to where we are. Now we are realizing we have not fixed the problems. We now have to continue with more and more makeup, more and more cover-up for our real problems. Let's sort out our country. Everything else will fall in place.
But Tawana Mugwira welcomed the central bank's move.
Given the current circumstances and the situation on the ground where there is no cash on the market, any intervention that might increase the current liquidity will make sense. You see, we wouldn't like an economy where there is no money. But if the intervention will bring in any form of liquidity on the ground, so at least there is ease of doing business, it will make sense to us. You see, so we don't care whatever, whether it is bond, coin, bond, whatever name you give it, but as long as it can buy, it's okay.
His views were echoed by Andrew Tsiga, who said the Americans were causing artificial shortages of their currency in order to effect regime change in Zimbabwe.
We are happy with our government for coming to the aid of the ordinary Zimbabweans. As you know, the cash shortages have been ongoing for the last few weeks. So this is a pro-poor, pro-people intervention by the government to come to the rescue of the ordinary people and aiding in terms of empowerment. Now, what this means is now that bond notes will now be in circulation in conjunction with the bond coins. Now, all this nonsense about people saying there's no confidence on the issue of bond notes, this is nonsense. First of all, as you might remember, when they introduced the bond coins, there was very reluctance by the public. But now it is now the currency of use. And now the government has now extended this to the bond notes, which is a welcome development. So this is all about reasserting our sovereignty, reasserting our control of the economy, and setting our destiny forward. So we are content with this, and we say to the government, this is a welcome intervention, and we're going to support it by making use of these bond coins. Now, as you know, the Americans have been tampering with our economy, withdrawing their US dollars from us, and now we found a solution to back ourselves up, a homemade solution, and it's going to see us through.
The Reserve Bank introduced bond coins more than a year ago. At first, people resisted them, but with time and shortages of US dollar coins, most Zimbabweans are now using the coins. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
In Bulawayo, where bank queues were shorter than in the past few days, with most people making deposits for school fees, some also expressed skepticism over the central bank's introduction of the notes. Taurai Shaba reports.
Most people were skeptical over the imminent reintroduction of bond notes, saying they would worsen the current cash crisis, as they appear to be similar to the dump bearers' checks that were used when Zimbabwe recorded historic hyperinflation rates between 2000 and 2008. One of the residents, who only identified himself as David, said if there is hard currency to back up the bond notes, as the central bank has claimed, he does not understand why that money cannot be put into circulation to help ease cash shortages instead of printing the notes.
First, it needs to be clear to me why we need to create bond notes. If we have money from the Afro-Exim Bank, we should just bring that money here. So maybe it needs to be clear. Is it the cash shortage we are worried about? I'm not sure. I don't know why the real issue is.
Policy analyst Butler Tambo of the Public Policy Research Institute of Zimbabwe said the introduction of the bond notes is in fact the reintroduction of the Zimbabwean dollar. He said the bond notes would bring the same problems that we experienced in the past, as the country's economy has not recovered enough to support its own currency.
We are likely to have that same situation. My biggest worry is also on the consumer and the business person. The fact that that shop which is going to accept the bond notes, once it has collected the bond notes, where are they going to change these bond notes to get the same US dollars so that they can import the same goods? Because again, the reason that the Reserve Bank has been giving for the liquidity crunch is the fact that people are importing unnecessary goods. Are we not reverting back to the old Gono days where large business people might end up holding on to bond notes and then be told that there is going to be an auction flow system for them to apply again to get the same US dollars while they're holding on to worthless money?
Despite the adoption of a multi-currency basket, including the US dollar and the South African rand, Zimbabwe has continued to experience cash shortages as a result of a continuing economic crisis, which has resulted in a lack of confidence in the banking sector. Meanwhile, an audit team from the Ministry of Local Government has started investigating the financial affairs of the Bulawayo City Council following recent claims that some councillors had corruptly acquired stands. Bulawayo Mayor Martin Moyo confirmed today that a 7-member team from the ministry started its investigations 2 days ago.
It's instigated. There have been quite a bit of noise from, I think it comes basically from the meeting that we had with the vice president at the large city hall, where people were raising concerns.
The Bulawayo Progressive Residents Association recently petitioned local government minister Sevia Kasukuere to investigate allegations of corruption leveled against the council. Councillor Moyo said a letter from the local government ministry showed that the investigations would focus on 4 main areas, including the allocation of a residential stand to Deputy Mayor Gift Banda, the allocation of stands to councillors since 2013, as well as the situation at Ingwewe Breweries, the council's Sopec beer manufacturing and retail subsidiary.
We have nothing to hide, and I have asked the management team through the town clerk to give them optimum cooperation in their investigation. I mean, whatever it is that they are asking for, let them get it, right? Because we have nothing to hide.
The council is expected to pay the cost of the investigation, totaling $18,350. Kasukuere has in the past suspended some councillors and officials in cities like Gweru and Harare, claiming that they violated certain provisions of the Urban Councils Act. Opposition parties have dismissed these moves as some kind of political grandstanding. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shaba.
But Central Bank Governor John Magunjika tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that all concerns about the introduction of the bond notes are misguided and that they are not planning to reintroduce the Zimbabwe dollar.
As you are aware, Blessing, the issue about the cash shortages in Zimbabwe is in some banks, not in all banks, in some banks, is attributable, as we said, to three factors. The first one is that the U.S. dollar has become very strong, and we have seen a shift from the usage of other currencies to using the U.S. dollar. So it means that we now have what you call concentration risk. We are concentrating on one currency, and that is against the spirit of a multi-currency system. So obviously our intervention should deal with the spreading of the demand from one currency to the other currencies in the multi-currency system.
So what it also means is that the government cannot print anything that is above 200 million, right?
That's exactly what I was saying. If something is begged, it means you can bring more. In fact, you aren't going to bring more than that. Because if you look at the Zimbabwean exports right now, between now and December, for example, we are talking about maybe $2 billion. And that's 5% of 200 is about what, 100 million? Then the other money. This is sure that the liquidity situation in Zimbabwe, the nostrils, are also funded. Money from the nostril will then fund this notes.
And there are some who are saying, well, what the central bank chief has done is to reintroduce the Zimbabwean dollar. What would be your response to that?
My response is very simple, is that the chest of the pudding is eating, number one. Number two, when we did the bond coins, they said the same thing. So it's not a surprise. And therefore, and third one is that we sympathize with their thinking process. It's because they are living in the past, in history, wherein they think that because we went through the hyperinflation, and that any person who try to help them, they might not think that they want to do the similar thing. So, end of the day. So, what I'm saying is that we sympathize with them. They're living in the past.
That was Central Bank Governor John Magunjika, excuse me, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. A High Court judge has reserved judgment over moves by the National Railways of Zimbabwe to force its workers to end an ongoing strike. The NRZ approached the court seeking a show cause order, and Judge Evangelista Kabasa reserved judgment on the matter this week. 4 weeks ago, 942 NRZ workers downed their tools to force management to pay them outstanding salaries backdating to 2015. 2 weeks ago, Labour Minister Prisca Mfumira ordered the more than 4,000 striking NRZ workers to return to work pending the determination of their case. Some workers heeded the call and have since gone back to work, while others have continued with their industrial action. For details on this case, Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri reached Mnyaradzi Gwisai, the workers' attorney.
The effect of the judgment is that the show cause order that had been done by the Minister of Labour, Ms. Mfumira, instructing the workers to go back to work, was held to be invalid. So the matter was struck off. It was held to be invalid on the basis that it was made in the name of the trade unions, not the workers who are striking. So the law requires that it be regularized before the matter can proceed or come back to court again.
So this means that National Railways can still go back to the same court?
Yes, but only after they've regularized it to make sure that the show cause order applies to the employees. But we think that this is not a matter for wasting time in the courts. You know, the railways is bleeding. The workers are suffering. We are facing a massive drought in which 4 million people are facing starvation. The railway is at the heart of the economy of this country. So we hope that the railway management and the railway board, as well as, the Minister of Transport, Dr. Joram Gumbo, and Minister of Finance, Mrs. Namaga, who are the principal shareholders of the railways on behalf of the nation, will sit down and take stock and find a solution as a matter of urgency. What's required here is for parties to sit down. The workers want to go back to work. Going to the courts, you know, is going to take such a long time and will not solve the underlying problem in this matter.
That was Munyaradzi Gwisai, an attorney representing striking NRZ workers. He was speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri from Harare. Meanwhile, International Labour Organization, or ILO, regional representatives, arrived in Zimbabwe from Pretoria on Wednesday for a meeting with the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions over the NRZ issue. 2 weeks ago, ZCTU approached ILO to force the government to intervene in the NRZ impasse. ZCTU Secretary General Japhet Moyo speaks with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri about the meeting.
The discussion is still going ahead with the ILO. For now, we are engaging the local office. We are engaging the regional office. Someone has just traveled from the region, from Pretoria. And tomorrow we'll be giving our side of the story and what we want ILO to do to assist the suffering workers. This meeting is not between us and the government, but it's between us and the ILO representatives. So it's up to the ILO representatives as to how do they take this issue forward. Besides that, this issue already is with their head office.
What are you pressing for?
In fact, what we want it made clear is for ILO to declare or ILO to make it clear that the management at the railways is infringing on the workers' rights by failing to pay those workers their salary. The second issue, we are worried that the government wants to terminate contracts for those suffering workers. And we want ILO to come keenly on that area and stop government from proceeding to dismiss those workers. So what we want ILO to do is to intervene in this problem.
That was ZCTU Secretary General Japhet Moyo speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri from Harare. Coming up, is ZANU-PF behind the planned introduction of bond notes in Zimbabwe? Stay tuned to find out. But first, a look at regional and international news. The musicians of the legendary rock group The Rolling Stones have told Donald Trump, the presumptive U.S. Republican presidential nominee, to stop using their songs as his campaign rallies. The rockers told Trump that the Rolling Stones have never given permission to the Trump campaign to use their songs, such as You Can't Always Get What You Want, and have requested that they cease all use immediately. And women face obstacles in the male-dominated field of computer technology, but new initiatives are teaching girls to write computer programs. One online application from a startup called VidCom is bridging the gap between young girls and technology. You're listening to Studio 7, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. The Zimbabwe economy has been facing serious challenges since 2000, with the dumped bearers' checks still fresh in the minds of many local people. Some of the checks, worth trillions of dollars, became so worthless that a pile of them could hardly buy a loaf of bread. Most economists argue that that form of money fueled the country's historic inflationary figures, which eventually led to the dumping of the Zimbabwe dollar in 2009 at the inception of a unity government. Many argue that the adoption of multiple currencies by the unity government, made up of MDC formations and President Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF party in 2009, led to the revival of the economy until 2013, when the nation held polls that was won by ZANU-PF. Critics say the economy has been on a free fall since that time, resulting in serious cash shortages that have forced the nation to propose the introduction of bond notes, which are said to be equivalent to the United States dollar. To some people, all this are machinations of the ruling party to stay in power and not resolve the cash crisis. For perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reached ZANU-PF leaning political commentator Gadzirai Chirumanzu and independent banking expert Ngoni Chivedze. Chirumanzu tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube that the central bank's move has nothing to do with politics.
It's a question of one's depth of understanding how financial institutions work. Well, if a country is having some, you know, financial problems, it's obvious they will come up with the means to deal with those problems. And this is what exactly the Reserve Bank governor did. And at the end of the day, there is going to be some lie for us to move forward as a nation, solving our, you know, teething problems.
Professor Chibije, is this politics or it has nothing with politics?
It has nothing to do with the politics. This is actually a reaction to the economic quagmire that they find themselves in. And this quagmire is a reflection of a disease, which is twofold. One, it's lack of goods to export. And number two, lack of the competitiveness of the country to attract FDI.
Mr. Chirumanzu, the issue of bond coins, you know, when people talk about them, they think this is the way the ZANU-PF government is trying to reintroduce the defunct Zimbabwe dollar. What is your view on that?
The people have got the right to come up with their own views. But at the end of the day, you see, as long as they have got confidence in whatever is there in their country, I don't see we are going to have problems. Remember, initially when these bond coins were introduced, you know, people resisted. But now everyone is prepared to use them and they are very comfortable in doing so. And I just hope with the introduction of bond notes, people will, at the end of the day, will appreciate them. And then we move on with our lives. I think it is also a weakness of African states per se to always want to use the, you know, former colonizers notes and take them as a genuine, you know, currency as compared to their own currency. And I think this is going to take time because we are still hooked. We are still in love with the whatever, I mean, foreign, you know, countries are doing instead of appreciating our own stuff.
And Professor Chibije, I think this is pure politics what Mr. Chirumanzu is talking now. He's talking about neocolonialism and, you know, the question of African countries using the American dollar, the British pound, and so forth. Does it work what he's talking about?
That's not true. Our current crisis here has been caused by the DOC deficit that we have. And we are no longer having the US dollar now that we introduced because we couldn't manage our own US dollar. Under normal circumstances, now we would receive money that we have exported through our sale of goods to other countries, and then we get some inflows or money that is coming through foreign direct investment. Now that is not happening. And that's why we have got this crisis here. Now, for people to have confidence in a currency, a lot of things are required there for people to have a confidence in a currency, because money is a store of value. And whenever people have got no confidence that this money can keep our value stable, then they will shun that currency. It's not a question of colonial legacy or whatsoever. No, this is pure economy. People using their common sense to see whether their wealth will be stored in a currency. That's why they want the US dollar. Now, this bond coin, temporarily, of course, it will be useful, but as time goes on, you find out that the Reserve Bank will not be able to give, to exchange this bond coin with the US dollars or rands that people would want to buy goods from other countries and then stock our supermarkets here. When that begins to happen, you find out that that bond coin will begin to depreciate in terms of the exchange rate. And then, in fact, it will then tantamount to be a Zim dollar.
Is this going to solve Zimbabwe's problems, Mr. Chirumanzu, in terms of cash shortages? And is it a long-term solution to all those kind of problems?
No, well, it is going to solve a lot of, you know, problems, because at the end of the day, maybe we'll be in a position to print these, you know, bond notes. But I think the most, you know, thing we are going to reap out of this policy is that it is going to be, you know, a balancing, you know, check where those people who have the knack of importing unnecessary goods will be in a position to be questioned by the relevant authority to a question of saying, why would you want to take so much money in terms of US dollars to spend, for example, importing potato chips? I think this is going to be, you know, a good measure for the country. Yes, we don't know what the future holds for these bond coins, but I think let's cross the bridge when we are there.
Lastly, Professor Chibije, do you think this is a kind of a long-term solution to Zimbabwe's problems in terms of liquidity crunch?
This is is not a long-term solution. It's quite temporary, solution at what is happening at the moment, because we are not able to export goods. We are not able to generate a U.S. dollar. And our country, because of this indigenization bill, we are not able to attract FDI. And as long as this is the case, then we will continue channeling out money out of the country. And all the U.S. dollars that we have, we'll channel them out. And once that has happened, then the bond note becomes a zim dollar.
Your last word, Mr. Chirumanzu.
I would want to disagree with the professor, because remember, you know, we will still receive the U.S. dollar, because right now our tobacco is raked in at 3 million. Remember, it is not only tobacco which we export. We also do the same thing with the gold. So at the end of the day, it is going to be a balancing act between the U.S. dollar we receive through exports and also what we'll be buying.
That was Gadzira Chirumanzu, a ZANU-PF leaning political commentator. You also heard from Ngoni Chividze, an independent banking expert. Both spoke with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In Zimbabwe during 2015, the most important human rights problems remain the government's targeting of non-ZANU-PF parties and civil society activists for abduction, arrest, torture, abuse, and harassment. Partisan application of the rule of law by security forces and the judiciary, and restrictions on civil liberties. These are the findings of the U.S. Department of State in its recently released country report on human rights practices around the world. The report notes that Zimbabwe had many other human rights problems. Prison conditions were harsh. The government's expropriation of private property continued. Executive political influence and interference in the judiciary continued, and the government infringed on citizens' privacy rights. The government generally failed to investigate or prosecute state security or ZANU-PF supporters responsible for violence. Authorities restricted freedoms of speech, press, assembly, association, and movement. The government continued to evict citizens, invade farms, private businesses and properties, and demolish informal marketplaces and settlements. The government also arrested, detained, prosecuted, and harassed non-governmental organization members. Government corruption remained widespread, including at the local level. Violence and discrimination against women, child abuse, trafficking of men, women, and children, and discrimination against persons with disabilities, racial and ethnic minorities, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex persons, and persons with HIV/AIDS were problems in Zimbabwe. The government there interfered with labor-related events. Zimbabwe's government took limited steps to punish security sector officials and ZANU-PF supporters who committed violations, but impunity continued to be a problem. In the arena of human rights, every government has the ability to improve, including the United States, said Secretary of State John Kerry. He noted that the contents of the 2015 report renew our commitment to promoting and protecting universal human rights, to supporting and defending civil society in its peaceful efforts to hold governments accountable, and to working with our partners to advance peace, development, human rights, and democracy.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. Today, our women's roundtable hosts, Praxedes Jeremiah and Marvelous Nklanga Nyahuye, will be talking with listeners and experts about the impact of the introduction of bond notes in Zimbabwe, especially on women. Now, if you wish to join the show, please call us at 001-202-619-2077. That number again is 001-202-619-2077. Or you can also send us a message or number on our WhatsApp on 001-202-465-0318. That a number again, 001-202-465-0318. Before we go, a very quick recap of our top stories. Some Zimbabweans have criticized the proposals by the Reserve Bank Governor of Zimbabwe to introduce bond notes. But Reserve Bank Governor John Mangungika has said that The notes are designed to stimulate the economy. And that's our show this evening. Thank you for tuning in. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungamili Nkomo. This is Ndimyake Mwakalyelye. Good night.